둘, 셋, 파!
Borahe Army and fellow music fans, I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany, and we're the hosts of Standing BTS from the Consequence Podcast Network. We're a bi-weekly show that covers the impact and legacy of K-pop group BTS.
We mix the perfect blend of research and fangirl as we take a deep dive into lyrics during album reviews, theorize over music videos, and keep up with their current events.
No BTS topic is off limits. We welcome everyone into the conversation, whether you're a casual fan, committed ARMY, or someone who's just curious about one of the biggest music groups in the world.
Come chat with us every other Thursday with a new episode wherever podcasts are found.
Welcome to the In Defense of Ska podcast.
There's a lot of like, okay, well, you like ska, name three bands that aren't the Boss Tones.
I'm your host, Aaron Carnes, music journalist and author of the book In Defense of Ska.
And I'm your co-host, Adam Davis, veteran ska musician from the bands Omnigon and Link 80.
On our show, we aim to push back on the mainstream's negative perception of ska music.
There are so many great untold stories throughout the history of ska. The show features interviews with everyone from the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones to Fishbone, Fall Out Boy singer Patrick Stump, and the Police drummer Stuart Copeland. Join us on In Defense of Ska from the Consequence Podcast Network.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Hey, and welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org. Consequence and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thank you, as always, for making your way here, for checking out the episode. Hit that subscribe button so you can keep up with all the interviews that we put out every single week. It's a new one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, three a week, to keep you up to date on your favorite artists and discover those new ones anywhere you get your podcast from. Spotify, Apple Podcast, NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video version, or again, anywhere you get your podcast from, you can subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. Please do give a rating, leave a review while you're at it. We've had some fantastic guests here lately. Colin Greenwood of Radiohead, Dexter and Noodles from The Offspring, Brian Ferry, the cast of It's What's Inside, including Alicia Debnam Carey, Gavin Leatherwood, and Brittany O'Grady. We also talked with Troy Sanders of Mastodon, Vernon Reed from Living Color, St. Vincent, James Bay, Natasha Rothwell. You can see her in How to Die Alone on Hulu. Dave Perner of Soul Asylum, Joe Scarborough from MSNBC's Morning Joe. Just an example of what you get when you subscribe to the Kyle Meredith With podcast. That's me, Kyle Meredith. Today is a very fun episode. We're going to be talking about the movie Chosen Family with Heather Graham, Thomas Lennon, and Julia Stiles. Now, Chosen Family, let's read it here. Written and directed by Heather Graham. Written, directed, and starring Heather Graham. A heartwarming and hilariously relatable film that navigates the complexities of relationships with a blend of comedy and drama. It's more specifically about a yoga teacher who Heather plays, who can't escape her manic family, miserable dating life, and inability to say no, leaving her constantly trying to fix everyone else's problems. But can she finally put herself first when a new love walks into her life? First, we're going to talk with Thomas Lennon, one of my favorite funny people on the planet. Of course, my introduction, like many of you, was with MTV's The State back in the 90s. He would go on to be Lieutenant Dangle on Reno 911, heading up that. You've seen him in, oh, The Odd Couple, How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days, Balls of Fury, Bad Teacher, Unfrosted. I'm just looking at the list here. It just goes on and on. We're going to get into his character here. He plays one of Heather Graham's best friends and chosen family, as the title suggests. We'll talk about how he's hooked up with Heather for one of her movies for the second time now and their professional relationship. Also want to hear about his work as a writer. He'll tell us about how he's doing an animated version of his novels for DreamWorks and some of his other projects. We're also going to talk music. You'll hear his favorite songs from Prince, Bowie, R.E.M., and why or why not The Smith should or should not reunite. Talking about Chosen Family, it's Kyle Meredith with Thomas Lennon.
Kyle, these are great, great, great records on the wall.
You going to do Lightning Round, favorite Prince song?
Never Take the Place of Your Man.
Ooh, favorite Bowie?
Life on Mars.
Ooh, nice. Okay, last one, favorite R.E.M.?
Ooh, Don't Go Back to Rockville. Now let's do second favorite. Let's just keep going.
Hey, we're okay that the Smiths aren't reuniting, right? So I know you have no opinion on Oasis.
Let's talk about it in depth and on and on and on and on. Oh, Kyle, I can feel. So, Kyle.
I feel like that's a different interview for another time.
Well, okay, we'll do that. Let's do that at the very end. We'll do first, we'll promote the wonderful Chosen Family. Everywhere you could see a movie in the world, October 11th.
Anywhere you could. So we see you as restaurateur? Is that a restaurateur?
Sure.
Is that the correct?
Sure. You know, Kyle, in movies, I'm usually playing me, really, right? Like, nobody casts me to be like some, like a regular person, right? You could cast there's regular people you could use for that who are terrific.
Yeah, but you are, well, you're a very nice guy in this, very nice restaurant. Well, let me say this, if it's you, can you cook?
Oh, God, no. But I'll make you the best grilled cheese you ever had in your life. It'll just be made out of stuff that's gross. And when I say gross, I mean, it's just going to be Velveeta on Wonder Bread, but it's going to be magnificent.
Velveeta on Wonder Bread, how?
I'll use an entire stick of Irish butter. That's why, for one grilled cheese.
For one.
Yeah.
I am lactose intolerant.
Yeah, no doctor would say eat a grilled cheese that I make you because it's not fatal, but it's super bad. It's super bad for you.
And that's where the acting comes in. See now? See, you are an actor. You've played a restaurateur so believably in Chosen Family.
Kyle, am I an actor? Of course I am. Of course I am. I've done those. I've acted in things, right?
You have? Haven't I? I've seen it.
Or do I just kind of show up and be amusing?
It's your second time with Heather. I can say that, though. You guys have done it. This is where you say nice things about Heather Graham. Like, what brings you back to working with her again?
Here's the thing. So the first time I was in a Heather Graham picture, it's a picture called Half Magic. Have you seen it, Kyle?
I have not seen it, but I should, shouldn't I?
Absolutely great. It's absolutely great. And it was one of the most fun times I'd had on a movie. It was my first day on Heather's first film, her first sort of major film, me and Angela Kinsey had like a sort of a love, like an awful love scene that doesn't go well for anybody involved. And it's such a funny place to be in. And we're sort of improvising this awful love scene. And at the end of it, I said to Angela Kinsey, and this, there was nowhere in the script, but Heather's just very conducive to like funny scenes happening. I said to Angela Kinsey, we'd just been like groaning and making awful noises on top of her. And then I say, I'm so sorry you didn't come. And she says, I'm so sorry you didn't. And
that's a good line.
It was one of the funniest scenes I've ever been in. And it was just like, because Heather creates these environments where you can be, where funny things can happen. And it could just like, she just has funny people around. And like, this one is like, you know, the sort of continuing story of this Heather Graham character that, you know, doesn't always pick the right guys and things like that. I think some of that must be based on her old life experience, although she also has a cool boyfriend sometimes, including now sometimes. So like, it's just sort of fun to be, she just creates a very fun environment. These are fun movies to be in, which is like, it's also to me, it's like doing movies like this. I was talking a little bit about, you know, in an era where movies are so big, you know, like I'm definitely writing, you know, I'm writing the animated version of my novels right now for DreamWorks. And, you know, if you're writing an animated film for one of the big movie studios, the mark under $500 million and you're basically a pretty big flop under. Half a B. Yeah.
Now to make that relative, is that like in the 90s when you had, you know, the number one selling album was 1 million or 2 million albums that week and a flop would have been $500,000 or something like that, right? Yeah. Like you could still have an entire career out of that, but they said, we got to drop you from the label.
For sure. So it's like, you know, it's just an interesting time where I guess what I'm getting at is I love that there's a place in the world for a movie like Chosen Family, which is like, you know, a movie where we lived at the airport hotel. And I think I'm wearing my own clothes like half of the time. No, it's like, it's a very grassroots kind of lo-fi. But then, you know, it looks like a great big romantic comedy. I think because just like sometimes you're in Providence and there's like a drone flies over you and you're like, oh, nice. But really, it's like people in their own clothes, you know, who are in a van having a jukebox making a movie like this, which is, that's kind of my, I like it. I like a slightly.
And we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Thomas Lennon.
It's kind of a beautiful spot that I think the industry is in. I've talked about this with some people, how there are these little, you know, to talk about the 90s again, because that was such an indie movie explosion moment. And it's for different reasons this time around. But that when the role isn't there from your agent at this moment doesn't mean that you can't work. I mean, how, you know, Heather takes her career in her own hands. I'm going to write, direct, and star in the thing that I want to make. Like, amazing. How often does that happen for you, that like you believe in something so much and you just can't get it, pick it up, and you're like, the hell with it, I'm doing this myself?
It has happened on occasion. I mean, for the most part, most of the things that I've done, I mean, I sometimes write big studio movies when those are in vogue, you know, and sometimes they still are. But, you know, the newest movie of Lennon Grant, which is, you know, where the Night at the Museum guys and stuff is a tiny horror movie about the Ursuline convent that's about goes into production like right now. But generally, that is the secret to the things that I like to do. And going back to the state, and is the idea of like waiting for permission from somebody is not something I'm real big on, you know. Like, because it's not coming and you don't need it, you know? The way to anything is not like to wait and see, like, hey, does somebody think this is an awesome idea? And are they going to like pat me on the back and like somehow get me to do it, you know? And the answer is no, fuck no. No one's ever going to know. Of course not. No one's going to tell you when to, no one's going to say when to go. No one's going to say anything. Just you have to start doing it, you know? Which is why, you know, I love being in like a movie like this. I love being, right now I'm in like a strange horror movie that's maybe no one will ever see, you know, but it's like
to me, Casca Girls?
Not Casca Girls. That's one we wrote, but that one I think is people might see. I'm in an even smaller movie than that right now. But this is the joy. It's like, it's nice. You got to like being in this, you know, like I love, hang on, sorry. There's one surprise guest who just wanted to
make an appearance. Internet star.
She's definitely sad about the Smiths too.
Pro or con, Smith should or should not ever reunite?
Well, we've lost Andy, so it doesn't, you know, technically it doesn't matter, you know, anymore. There is no Smiths in really. And you know, I saw Johnny last week at the Orpheum in LA, and he was amazing. And it, you know, he plays the songs beautifully, he sings the songs beautifully. I do think, you know, and I understand his point of view. I think, you know,
you just can't be around anymore in your life, and that's okay.
No, I mean, this is look at, you know, not everybody's going to make that Oasis decision of like, hey, you know, it's, let's walk it off for the team, you know. Are you excited about Oasis?
I am excited about Oasis. I love the Smiths. I can go the rest of my life without them ever being in the same room for all the reasons you just said too. For Andy, because I love Johnny, he's on the show a lot, and you know, I'll take it. Yeah.
And I appreciate that. I mean, if you look at, you know, I'm friends with Steve Jones from the Sex Pistols. The Sex Pistols, not as the Sex Pistols, because of course there's no John Lydon in the front of it, but I've just had a very successful tour as everybody else from the record, which is pretty interesting. Yeah, what I don't want to see is, I don't need to see the Gallaghers getting along. Like, there's no, like, what's the universe? What's the point of that? It's like, if I'm going to see the Brian Jonestown Massacre, it's not for it to work out great. You know?
We're here for that.
I don't need for it to work out great.
Thomas, it has been a pleasure talking with you. Congrats on Chosen Family and all the stuff you got going on.
October 11th, everywhere you can look at a thing.
And we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. Now it's time for part two to talk about Chosen Family, which also stars Julia Stiles. Oh my God, reading her list is like reading Thomas Lennon's list. You know Julia Stiles from 10 Things I Hate About You, from Mona Lisa Smile, from the Born Identity series. Oh, Hamlet, Save the Last Dance, Silver Lining. She did a great run on Dexter. She's one of the greatest actors of all time. So we're going to talk with her also about how she hooked up with Heather Graham for this. The character that she plays, the very angry sister of Heather's character. And also, much like Heather Graham, she's taken her career in a new direction by taking on directing. She has a film coming out next year that we're going to talk about. I do want to hear about that shared experience with Heather, about directing and writing and getting an independent film off of the ground. And we'll talk more music, too. I'll throw the same questions at her, Prince, Bowie, R.E.M., and hear how she wants to be a music video director. Let's do it. Talking Chosen Family, it's Kyle Meredith with Julia Stiles.
Amazing wall of music back there. That's so cool. I love it. I love Prince and R.E.M. and you got lots of good stuff there.
Little Bowie. It was funny when Thomas Lennon was here yesterday, the first thing we did, I made him do the lightning round and he to tell me his favorite Prince, Bowie, and R.E.M. song. So you've fallen into the trap and you have to do the same thing now.
Okay. I'm gonna go on my version of Clockwise.
Sure.
Okay, R.E.M. is It's the End of the World as We Know It.
Great choice.
Bowie, that's a tough one. I would say, I could sing it. Oh my God, wait, what is it called? Because it's not Ziggy Stardust. It's the Starman?
Yeah, Starman's a good one. Yeah, Starman waiting in it. Yeah.
Yeah. But even the stuff he did later in life was great. And then Prince, oh man, I have to pick one. I'm going to pick an obscure one.
Okay.
Just to show off. No, I'm not. Starfish and Coffee is a really...
That's a fantastic one.
That's a really fun one to sing, especially if you have little kids.
Yeah.
Obviously 1999. Obviously Purple Rain.
These are good choices. These are very good choices. You passed the test as well. Well done. And it's ridiculous to me that I start with the lightning round. So that's it's usually it's the ending.
We always love changing the subject after talking about like a movie. Oh, and Maya Hawk too. Interesting. Mm-hmm. It's always nice to change the subject a little bit.
Yeah, that's good. In Maya, I mean, what a great dual career that she's having right now. Her album. She's one of my favorite lyricists at the moment. It's just incredible in that stuff. But I do want to say. To do the thing that you said you're trying to get away from, I do want to congratulate you on this movie and seeing you back on the screen again. It shows the family, and you know, it's a fun story. It's got you working with Heather, and the crossovers of both of your careers that seem to be happening at the moment with her, the writing and directing, and you doing as well. How did you get roped into this little adventure?
It wasn't that hard to rope me in. It was probably like a little piece of dental floss. No, I was really excited about Heather writing and directing, and she wrote a really great script. It made me laugh out loud as I was reading it, and it was a super fun character who's just like completely irreverent and bratty and acts a grown up who acts like a toddler, which is always fun to do.
What is it? The is it Punch Pilates? Is that what
punch,
the
Punchilates? So it's basically her just punching the air and kicking. It's getting out all of your rage, because my character definitely has rage issues. Yeah, I mean, the joke with that is that Heather's character has a career as a yoga teacher, and her family won't pay attention to it. All they do is pay attention to the younger daughter who acts out and demands a lot of attention and is bragging about. The parents are trying to be supportive of the sober sister at the expense of our main character, Heather, who gets overlooked all the time.
That's got to be a little fun moment. Like, what's the direction that comes along with coming up with a concept like that?
Punchilates. Oh, yeah, well, when we had to actually film the scene where I'm in my Punchilates class, she was like, do whatever you want. So I did. It was a lot of yelling.
But, and that's it. You're like, so much of your character in this does have this just like, I mean, she's a balled up fist most of the time. To carry that through an entire character, I don't know, does it get tight? Because it seems like a very fun environment that you guys to be around. So I don't imagine this is too serious. You know, there is a comedic element to it, and it's very serious as well. But is it enough to like carry that kind of emotion around for however long the shoot was?
I think it's really cathartic. I mean, I'm not an angry person, but I think as an actress, you sometimes gravitate towards characters and situations and storylines that let you act out the things that you're not really allowed to in real life. So, you know, any bottled up frustration and I could let loose on this, you know, in this character. But she's also, you know, she's not totally irredeemable. I mean, she is very self-centered and very tantrumy and demanding a lot of attention. But, you know, she's struggling with sobriety. She's living in her parents' garage. We learn towards the end of the movie that, like, messed up things happened to her in life. And, you know, not to make excuses, like, I think in Heather's writing too, she wrote characters like her parents and the sister in a kind of exaggerating their faults almost, because they're supposed to be such a dysfunctional family that Heather's character is learning that her chosen family are her friends, that are the ones that actually see her and love her and support her no matter what.
Yeah. And it's just fun seeing you in this kind of thing. And of course, you know, when we look back over your career and all the many types of characters that you played, but especially, you know, I know that things get brought up about 10 things and I was thinking even Wicked and things like that. And for that to, you know, even those characters to have their own, like, did you ever get to a point where you would have avoided someone like this? Like, that's what I think I'm trying to get to. Like, so much was put on you about that type of character. Like, would you have played this character 20 years ago?
Would I have played that character 20 years ago? I don't think I would have really understood it or been, like, comfortable enough to really let it out. I think I would have been more inhibited playing a character like this. Or I would have been looking for, like, her good qualities. Like, I would have been looking for a way to humanize her, I guess. I don't know. And this, I'm just like, nah, I'm just going to go with bratty.
Well, when in doubt, go with bratty. But you're so the flip side of this, and as I mentioned at the beginning, like, much like Heather, like, you're taking on this new side of your career, and I don't know how much, like, this is, like, gung-ho forward path, but you've got your directorial film debut on the way. And, like, was that, like, when you're talking to Heather, is that part of the conversation at all? Do you all share notes on that side of things?
Yeah, I mean, particularly about getting independent films set up and through development and financing and all that, because Heather sent me the script for Chosen Family a few years ago, and as she was trying to get it financed and figure out her schedule, I was also doing that with my movie, and we were very supportive of each other, and I could see also, like, you know, her, how she got it from start to finish, and that was very inspiring to me.
Do you know what kind of director that you want to be at this point, now that you've jumped in the deep end?
Totally. I mean, I will say that I've spent 25 years on film sets, and so I have absorbed a lot through osmosis, and also, like, seen so many different styles of directing, and there are certain ones that I definitely want to emulate. But I found myself on set when I was directing that, like, all the things that I swore I would never say to actors, I was forced to, because you just don't have time. Like, I was like, I'm going to let them rehearse and do one take, and I'm not going to give any notes because that's too oppressive. I'm just going to let them do it, and then I'll come in, give them one take, and then come in and give your notes. And you just don't have time. You have to be, like, more happy, more sad, faster, slower. which, when you're on the acting side of it, can be really frustrating, but it's just necessary.
When you make a decision like this, now that you've made this decision, I should say, like, how much of it is just, like, this is the gradual next step versus, like, because I always thought, like, this is an opportunity for any actor to take more control of their career. You know, you don't have to wait for the role to come along. If you believe in a project enough, you can see it from the starts to the end. Which, to me, I know is very scary and very hard to do, but also would seem to be exciting.
I think a huge part of a director's job too that I wanted to emulate was that you're, like, almost like the parent with kids filtering the stress. So, like, you, all the stress that's going on behind the scenes, you have to protect your actors from. And it's a ton more work, but it's also it's so energizing because you are communicating your vision to a group of people who then have to help it come to life. And you're much more in the driver's seat than I think generally you are as an actor, but they go hand in hand. You know, I think that I think acting and directing go really well together, and being an actor makes you a better director, and having experience behind the camera probably makes you a better actor too.
Well, you've got plenty of experience on the acting. I mean, again, just the iconic roles, even beyond the iconic roles. I was thinking about, I wish I'd brought the soundtrack, because I have the soundtrack to the 60s, the NBC movie you did. And I listen to that still all the time. I think that's you on the cover of it, right?
Yeah. That was one of my first big jobs. Yeah.
Yeah. Still not available anywhere. No one can watch that movie at this point. It's just not.
Oh, I wonder.
Like, everything's available, and that's not available out there.
I wonder why. It was NBC. I remember that.
They called it the movie event of a generation, and then it just went away. I mean, it maybe had to do with songwriters or something like that, because I know it had all of those in there.
Oh, it had a lot of really, really big songs from that era.
Yeah, that one. And even since we're talking about period pieces, Mona Lisa Smile, I went back to that one recently, and just you know, that's what I'm getting at. It's just all these just incredible, incredible things that you've been a part of today. Now that you can bring that into the directing, it's like that. Like, I always hear that you can tell when a director knows how to be an actor. Like that there's an obvious difference there. Do you find that's the same?
I think there's a sensitivity to, like, if, like I noticed with Heather when she was directing Chosen Family, she there was a sensitivity that she had to what the actors were doing. She was very observant, even though she was also acting in the film, and respectful of us, you know, and I think I give her a lot of credit for that, because I think that if you have written the script, you probably have an idea of how you want the performances to be. And she would give us guidance, but she also was very, very receptive to what we would bring to it. And I think that comes from her experience as an actress.
How much did you talk about her actual story on this one? Because, I mean, you know, when you hear about, you know, when you're an actor and you find a role, you have to find the truth in it. When you're writing and directing, I mean, there's got to be mostly truth in there, I would imagine. I mean, I guess there's that chance for escapism. But, you know, when I guess what I'm getting to, when I saw this movie, like, I found my connection to it. You know, I've been married now for 10 years, but I had a first marriage, and that transitional moment, especially when you have a kid, like, and the dating scene that you have to go through and all of that, like, you know, I know those moments, you know, and like when you all are breaking down the movie, I mean, how much of that do you all actually talk about?
She was really open. Heather was really, really open in talking about how this was inspired by her own life story and her actual family. She's very open about it. I think, but she wasn't trying to get us to like imitate, you know, she wasn't going like, you have to act like my sister. I think what's really great about Heather too, is that you can tell that her perspective as the writer and then director is that even though this is a story that's very close to home to her, she really looks at it through a comedic lens. She's able to laugh at it instead of focusing on tragedy or being, she's worked through it enough that she's not like bitter and angry about her relationships in real life.
Those comedic moments. I thought I'm trying to remember how it was worded, anal massage, something like that. That bit could have gone longer. It could have gone longer.
Yeah.
When do we get to see your film? The directing film. When do we, that I'm blanking on the title.
It's called Wish. That's okay. It's called Wish You Were Here. And it'll be out early next year. It'll be in theaters too. So, I'll let you know.
I can't wait. I hope we get to talk about that as well. And more music, too. I'm just going to put more new posters on the wall and make you go through a whole new slew of them. So,
do you know that I discovered that my dream job, if people still spent money on this, would be directing music videos? Because one of my favorite things about directing was being able to put music to the picture.
I mean, people do still make music videos. You were in one, Cyndi Lauper?
I've been in a couple. I was in a Cyndi Lauper music video when I was 16. I was in more like smaller bands, like Cavemen was one of the bands, and Leisure Cruise.
Okay, I don't know that one. Cavemen sounds familiar though. But I always thought it would be fun to be like, I don't know, music videos to me, especially to me and to our generation, are so iconic. Like you cannot hear certain songs without just seeing the entire picture. And to be able to produce something like that, I mean...
Well, because music videos used to be an event, right? But with MTV, like a Monday morning, you'd come into school and you had to have seen whatever was released that weekend. Beyonce kind of does that now, but that's about it.
Yeah, they're out there. People still make them. They're just not seen in the same way, which is, I don't know, unfortunate. Every now and then, if I'm in a hotel room and they have like MTV Classic or whatever, I throw it on and just sort of imagine I'm 20 years ago. And
Yeah.
It's fun to do. Congrats on this. It's great seeing you back on the screen again in this new one. And geez, you're always on the screen. I feel like some screen everywhere. So I don't say that like it's anything new, really. But and I can't wait to see what's next from you. Thank you so much for taking the time.
Thanks. Nice to see you.
And we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith. Now time for part three. And this time talking with the woman of the hour, writer, director, and star of Chosen Family, Heather Graham. Famous of License to Drive, Boogie Nights, The Hangover Part 1 and 3, Austin Powers Part 2,
From Hell, Drugstore, Cowboys, Swingers, Scrubs. I really could just keep going. She's one of the greatest actors of all time. And this is her movie. So I want to talk to her about exactly that. What went into making the movie, why she was so inspired to tell the story, which is a personal story for her, one that she's experienced, and where she sees filmmaking, especially in the independent world these days. All that and a whole lot more. It's part three. We're talking Chosen Family. It's Kyle Meredith with Heather Graham.
Hey, how's it going? I like all your cool, I don't know if those are like record covers or posters. They're cool.
Posters.
Oh, wow.
I'm glad that you brought that up. Having Thomas and Julia on here, the first thing they noticed was this. And I said, well, now that you've said something about it, you have to play the lightning round and tell me your favorite songs. So now I've got to throw it to you. Prince, do you have a favorite Prince song?
I Want to Be Your Lover. You know that song. Yeah.
It's a great one. All right, and we'll end with REM. Do you have a favorite REM song?
I mean, Losing My Religion, of course.
It's great. One of the best songs of all time.
It's amazing. Amazing.
Well, on to the bigger subject. Congratulations on Chosen Family. Seriously.
Thank you.
I know the amount of work that had to be put out on this. I've heard you talk about, like, I mean, how long have you really been trying to get this going?
I mean, I think I've been working on it for 8 years, if not more. But actually, the movie business, it's not that weird. Like, there's people that work on movies for a long time. But yeah, it's been a long time.
Still, knowing this is a passion project, I mean, the obvious question I know I should ask is, like, why did you want to tell this story? Like, why was it important to know how big of a mountain it is to climb to make your own movie? Like, why was the story important?
I think, you know, I was just really intrigued by the idea that sometimes, like, the dysfunctional dynamics in your own family that you want to get away from, that you can attract them in your relationships, and the idea of just friends can be your family. And I think it's a journey that I went through trying not to be a people pleaser. And I just thought, is there a way to tell this story and make it funny and hopefully somewhat, you know, inspiring? And even though it's kind of sometimes dark subject matter, that somehow at the end you feel uplifted. That was my goal.
I really like what I got from it too. Like, I've been married twice. I've been married now for 10 years on the second one, but that first one, and the transitional moments, like when you have to date again and seeing that on screen and knowing, like, yeah, I did all of those things, you know.
Did you? Okay, so you could relate.
Yeah, very, very much relate. But
that's
like,
so funny.
And you know, and as the, you know, the writer too, like, I'd love to know, because as you're talking about people pleasing really being at the core of this, but it does tell several stories. I mean, there is the story of dating as an adult. There is the story of life after divorce and all that. Like, how did that all come together for you?
I mean, I think, you know, the idea of, you know, when you're dating someone and they have a kid and you don't have a kid and just trying to fit into their lives, and sometimes that kid and you're in kind of a step-parent role really doesn't want you there. Just, you know, how kind of awkward that could be, and how do you handle it, and how does the, you know, parent handle it? I think it could be a very difficult, painful thing. And at the same time, when I, you know, step back from it, it is kind of funny. It's funny because I feel like past generations, you know, parents would just be like, shut up and do what I say. And, you know, now I feel like people are like, they give the kids the power. You know, they overly make the kids like, okay, spoil the kids. The kids are entitled. The kids don't have to follow any rules. So I kind of was just exploring that sort of dynamic where if the parents can't, the dad doesn't really know how to set boundaries with his daughter. And that my character doesn't really know how to set boundaries with my family.
And... which results in some really funny cringe moments, the dance off. I mean, I know that's had been talked about a lot, but how do you direct that moment right there?
Well, it's funny because when I wrote the script, I was like, this is so ridiculous. Like, is this just going to be, but I did think this could be the funniest scene in the movie, which, and now that we've taken it to some film festivals, it is the funniest scene in the movie. And I remember on the day I was nervous. I'm like, is this going to like work? You know, but it's funny because the actress Ella Grace actually is like a really amazing dancer, and she does competitive dancing, and she was really excited about the scene, and she was like practicing and like recording it. And it was really fun, actually.
Yeah. Well, it's fun to watch, but at the same time, it's like, oh God.
I know. Everyone's like, it's cringy. It's cringy funny.
It's the best way. Looking back at this, you know, as we're talking about too, you know, like getting a film, writer, director, star, With your work, especially in the 90s independent film revolution, thinking of Drugstore Cowboy, Nowhere, Swingers, all of those, like how much of coming up in that scene, like gave you the language for what you're doing now?
I think that's what inspires me the most is independent cinema. I feel like it feels less corporate. It feels less, oh, let's do another sequel of something we've already seen. It feels a little bit more creatively fresh. So I am inspired by that for sure.
Are you able to go back? Because I'm sure when you're in the moment back in the 90s, like you're thinking about being the actor and everything, but like, were you given the tools then? Were you paying attention in that way?
I mean, a movie that I watched that I was inspired by that might not have been the 90s, I think it might have been early 2000s, but was Little Miss Sunshine. You know, that definitely had that independent cinema that kind of crossed over into being like a commercial hit. But yeah, those just kind of, I love that kind of storytelling. That's just, it's got humor, it's got drama, it's kind of painful, but it's also something about it at the end of it, you feel somehow uplifted. That's definitely what I was going for.
Do you feel like we're getting back to a point where that kind of culture can survive again, the independent
I
filmmaking as
hope
a mainstream?
so. I think now with films that, you know, they pretty much seem to only want to make tentpole movies and then you're putting like $60 million into like your advertising. So they don't want to make any mistakes. I think maybe in TV they take a little bit more risks, but it is fun still seeing independent movies get made and watching my movie get made. I love watching those independent movies that break through that people watch because I just feel like they're more creative.
Like for you, like how much of this is like just scratching your own itch versus, the way to stay busy, the way to stay in the game?
I mean, yeah, I guess as an actor, you are sitting around going, okay, well, when am I going to work next? And it is fun to have something that you can have control over. Well, today I'm going to write this script, you know, or I'm going to option this book, or I'm going to develop this project. It is fun to just have more control over your art.
Especially talking with Julia Stiles, who's also in the same boat, and even Thomas Lennon too, with all of his writing, like how much do you
I mean,
talk
he's
to
a very
them?
successful writer, and it's cool because Julia, while we were making the film, she was in like kind of the pre-production stages, and now she's made her film. So it's inspiring to watch, you know, your contemporaries like doing cool stuff.
What's the benefits of having a director that's also an actor?
I think actors, you know, we definitely understand, you know, because the director is looking at the whole thing from an overview, but when you're playing the role, then you're kind of the expert of your character. And so I do really respect actors when they come in that they really put the time and energy into, you know, focusing on that particular character. And you know, it's scary being an actor. Even if you're really successful, you could still be nervous. You still want to feel a level of support around you. So I can relate to that for sure.
Are you ready to tackle another one?
Yes, I do want to do another one. Even though it's so hard, but at the same time, I still want to do it again.
Yeah. Well, I love seeing you on here. Congratulations on it. Seriously, it's such a fun
Thank
movie.
you. Thank you. Thanks for talking to me and talking to Julia and talking to Tom and thanks for talking to all of us.
And my thanks to Heather Graham, Julia Stiles, and Thomas Lennon. Chosen Family is out now. Thanks to you for checking out the episode. Hit that subscribe button before you get out of here again, so you can keep up with all the interviews that I put out every single week, three a week, just like this one, at Spotify, Apple Podcast, NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcast from. You can subscribe to Kyle Meredith With, and please do give the series a rating. Leave a review while you're there. After that, you can head over to WFPK.org, where I do a show Monday through Friday starting at 6 p.m. Eastern. You get 4 hours of classics from the 80s and 90s. You get the best in new music. There are bonus interviews, lots of music news as well. One of my recent shows featured some classics and favorites from The Clash, The Body Snatchers, Joan Jett, Galliano, Slater Kinney, Cracker, Richie Havens, Parliament, Chibo Amato, Oh He Dead, The Avett Brothers, Decemberists, Murder by Death, Ben Folds 5, Teddy Swims, David Bowie, XTC, Suzanne Vega, and my interview with blues legend Sugar Ray Rayford. An example of what you can hear weeknights starting at 6 p.m. Eastern at WFPK.org. Consequence has your music and film news. You can also find me on any of the social media sites. The address is always the same. It's at Kyle Meredith. I do hope you like and follow along. And that does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.